This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending the 15th of June, 2018. Rather than go through the financial mainstream news and make comments, which I do almost every week, I thought this week I would do just the metals and hopefully keep this under 10 minutes. So we had options expiration. We had a breakout. This is Friday. I'm doing this on the 15th, as I just mentioned. Thursday, yesterday, gold breached the $1,300 level on good volume. Silver breached the 17 level on good volume. Silver closed around 1725, and I forget the gold number, 1307 or something along those lines. Today on the New York Open, both these metals got slammed heavily. There's an article on Zero Hedge, which I often refer to in these weekly perspectives. You can read about the quantity of paper that was thrown at this market, meaning the precious metals markets, and drove these prices down substantially. In fact, one time during the day when I was doing an update, I saw go across the screen that gold had hit a six-month low, and that's on one trading day, because yesterday's move up above 1300 was basically a breakout. And of course, it turned out to be a fake out. So let me just stop there and move on to other important items that are pertinent to today's precious metals markets. More from a fundamental perspective than a technical one or any price activity. Fundamentally, countries around, this is from the Gold Telegraph, obviously, countries around the world have begun pulling their gold from U.S. vaults. This is a fundamental change, which is very significant. So if we look at the long game and we look at fundamentally what's wrong with fiat systems, which most anyone listening to an update from me would know about, the United States of America is beginning to lose its reserve currency. Remember, currency, not money, dominance. Countries around the world are working to find ways to circumvent the U.S. dollar when it comes to trade and settlement. In addition to that, nations are requesting for their gold holdings stored overseas to return home. Turkey is the latest country to request their gold, as they pulled 220 tons of gold out of the U.S. Federal Reserve System on the 19th of April, 2018. The country's 220 tons of gold is valued at $25.3 billion. Turkey has followed countries such as Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, and Belgium. With regards to bringing home or storing their gold at home, total foreign gold held on deposit at the New York Fed in monthly change. This graph shows you that there's been a substantial change from what was in the Fed vaults going back to 2006, about 6.6, whereas today it is noticeably less at about 5.7, we'll say. Zero Hedge, Turkey's president, Erdogan's decision to withdraw their gold was an act of trying to privatize his nation's currency. He was quoted as saying, "These debts should be gold or be in gold, because at this point, the carat of gold is unlike anything else. The world is continually putting us under currency pressure with the dollar. We need to save states and nations from this currency pressure." Now, regardless of what this man is, does, says, or whatever, excuse me, I shouldn't have said says, I think when it comes to the monetary issue, putting all others aside, I think it makes a lot of sense. But why are these countries rushing to get their gold back? It's not a secret. There is a lack of confidence with regards to the U.S. Treasury's claim that it currently holds 261 million ounces of gold in Fort Knox and other locations like West Point. On top of that, the official gold reserves have never gone through an independent audit. Well, I correct that. It's not never. They did it in, I think it was 1950-something, or like 53, early in the 50s. But since then, it has not undergone an audit. Countries such as Russia and China constantly accumulate gold with the rumored plan to create a gold-backed currency with the ambition to dethrone the United States dollar as the reserve currency. I would comment here, I say rumored to plan. I don't think you're going to see a gold-backed currency. You might have a tie to gold, but I doubt you're going to see a truly gold-backed currency in any time in the near future or far future, but that remains to be determined. If you kept up with my updates, and of course, if you're a member, you get a lot more insights, but there was a meeting that was held by the World Gold Council, and Alan Greenspan did attend and did speak to some sovereign wealth funds and central banks worldwide, hosted by David Harquail, the current chairman of the World Gold Council, and also CEO of Franco-Nevada, one of my holdings. And it was pretty well received from what I've been told. I didn't attend, but there is a place for gold, and most don't know it or even pay any attention to it. But regardless, what Mr. Magoo had to say, gold still represents the ultimate form of payment in the world. Fiat money in extremis is accepted by nobody. Gold is always accepted, end quote. So what he's saying is when the you-know-what hits the you-know-what fan, that there's one currency, or I should say one money, and that's gold, and that's what's accepted. So enough on that. I have another couple comments to make, and we'll close out this weekly perspective. I decided after some contemplation, I'm going to finish this off with energy matters, energy, environment, and policy. I just returned from London, as some of you may know, and I may be starting a Morgan Report energy letter. It wouldn't be marketed through the Morgan Report. It would be marketed through a JV. And I haven't made that determination, but during my lecture in London, I spoke about energy, and it is the most important commodity. There's no doubt about it. Without energy, nothing happens. Yes, finance and money is very important, but without energy, nothing happens. So having said that, this article talks about how much of the world's energy is supplied by renewables, because there's a lot of thought out there and a lot of misinformation regarding, you know, we should all go green and all that. I'm not anti-green. I have some solar, actually, but it's not very efficient. And it does take a lot of, let's say, carbons to produce a solar panel. There's no way around that. Transportation, just transporting the materials to make a solar panel somewhere is on a road or in an airplane. So anyway, if you really think these things through, you've got to think them all the way through and what the real overall energy in versus energy out is. So I'm just going to speed this up. Again, if I do an energy report, I will, you know, if you're on the mailing list, you'll be brought up to speed on that availability, but that remains to be determined. So here we are, the 2015. So yes, it's more than a couple years old. But at that time, you know, coal, oil, natural gas, nuclear is only about 5% global. Hydro, that's been around for a long time. So it's the biofuels, waste, and others, which is your solar and everything else. So we're looking back, but at that time, and it's gotten somewhat better. You're looking at about 10% here and 1.5% there. So you're looking at about 11.5% of the energy worldwide produced by alternatives. And if you come down to the end of the article here, you can see that there are three agencies that have different ideas about, and this is a long-term graph from 1971 to, again, 2015, and you can see the trend is coming up, and all of them except the World Bank. This one, too, IEA, pretty much the Energy Agency, Independent Energy Agency, is kind of leveling off. Regardless, here it says, okay, so the answer to the question in the title, how much of the world's energy was supplied by renewables? Was it BP's 9.5%, IEA's 13.7%, or the World Bank's 18.1%, or none of the above? I'll leave the question hanging. I will as well. I just think I'd be more inclined to look at the average, so I'd probably go with the IEA estimate. But 13%, 14, maybe it's up to 15 now. I don't know. No one knows the exact number anyway. Is a far cry from supplying everything. I did an article a while back, and I referenced an article that I found because when I was doing the research about could we power the globe from solar? In other words, is there enough silver in the world to power the globe solarly? And that exercise was done by someone I didn't know, but I certainly gave them credit. I don't know if you can Google it and find that article very well. You'll probably find his article before mine, but it's absolutely impossible to do that. Doesn't mean there aren't other energy forms. In fact, I think there are other energy forms that have been repressed. If you want my frank opinion, and it's a studied view. I mean, the carburetors that got very, very good with gas mileage that were suppressed and on and on. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far. I want to keep this brief. But the idea is how much of the renewables, alternatives, are in place right now? The answer is not that much. Can they supersede what we already have with the carbon fuels? The answer is, looking at this in a conventional perspective, probably not. But from a more open-minded perspective, where there's probably technologies out there that are not well known by the general populace, probably not well known by mainstream science. And I don't want to sound like too much of a woo-woo here, but I'm pretty open-minded, and I do have a, you know, engineering background. So there are things I think that are available that just are not in the public domain, because the, let's say the carbon crew is very set on having control, not necessarily what's the best for, as an energy source. So I'll leave it at that. I will be back with you next week with another weekly perspective. And just remember, treat each other nicely, kindly. There's a lot going on in this world, and you know, you want to be the change you want to see. If you want to see more peace in the world, be more peaceful. You want more joy in the world, be more joyful. You want more truth in the world, tell the truth. You want more optimism in the world, be more optimistic. I mean, it all really starts within, you know, our own selves as far as what we want to project to the world. Can we solve the world problems? Not necessarily, but people also overlook the power of the individual. I mean, when Gandhi was a member of the establishment, he couldn't do much to change what was going on with the Brits in India. But once he left that, he was able to. That's it. I'll be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.